Hello friends, and welcome to the 8th session of Estelle D'Or, the casual book club discussing Tolkien's The Silmarillion. Today we will be covering chapter 5 of Quenta Silmarillion of Eldamar and the Princes of the Eldali. So without further ado, here we go. In time, the hosts of the Vanyar and the Noldor came to the last western shores of the Heatherlands. In the north, these shores, in the ancient days after the Battle of the Powers, bent ever westward, until in the northmost parts of Arda, only a narrow sea divided Aman, upon which Valinor was built, from the Heatherlands. But this narrow sea was filled with grinding ice because of the violence of the frosts of Melkor. Therefore, Orome did not lead the host of the Eldali into the far north, but brought them to the fair lands about the river Sirion, that afterwards were named Beleriand. And from those shores, whence first the Eldar looked in fear and wonder on the sea, there stretched an ocean, wide and dark and deep, between them and the mountains of Aman. So, at the end of chapter 4, we had Vanyar, Noldor in the western shores of the Heatherlands. Heatherlands, as you know, are the Middle-earth, is the Middle-earth. Heatherlands is called Middle-earth. And the Teleri, who were with Olwë, were at the eastern side near Ered Luin. The elves, seeing this vast ocean, got really afraid of it, and Orome had left them to go to Valinor to seek Manwë's counsel as to how to bring the elves over to Valinor. Beleriand is all that part of Middle-earth west of Ered Luin. In the future session, we will go into detail about the maps and geography and locations. So you'll see where everything is. But it's all that area which was on west side of Ered Luin, which is not visible in the map of Middle-earth that you see in the Lord of the Rings or in Lothro. Now Ulmo, by the counsel of the Valar, came to the shores of Middle-earth and spoke with the Eldar, who waited there, gazing on the dark waves. And because of his words and the music which he made for them on his horns of shell, their fear of the sea was turned rather to desire. Therefore, Ulmo uprooted an island, which long had stood alone amid the sea, far from either shore, since the tumults of the fall of Iluin, and with the aid of his servants he moved it, as it were a mighty ship, and anchored it in the bay of Balar, into which Sirion poured its water. Then the Vanyar and the Noldor embarked upon the isle, and were drawn over the sea, and came at last to the long shores beneath the mountains of Aman, and they entered Valinor, and were welcomed to its bliss. But the eastern horn of the island, which was deep grounded in the shoals of the mouths of Sirion, was broken asunder and remained behind, and that, it is said, was the Isle of Balar, to which afterwards Ose often came. So since Ulmo is the Lord of the Water, seeing that the elves were really afraid of the water when they saw the ocean, he decided to do something about it, to do something to change that fear, to make them see or realize that they need not fear it, that the waters were under the realm of Vala Ulmo. And here we have another example of what we can call magic, the music that Ulmo makes. It turns the fear of the elves into desire. They long for the sea now, somehow, after listening to the music of the Vala Ulmo. We can assume here that when Orome went to seek the counsel of Manwë, Ulmo was also present there, and That is what Manwë had counseled, that it would be Ulmo who would bring the elves into Valinor by using an island as a ship. It's not explicitly stated, but we can assume that the reason for Orome not coming back to Middle-earth to get the elves is because in that Council of the Valar, it was decided that Ulmo would be the one to do it. So Ulmo uproots an island which was in the middle of Valinor and Middle-earth, and he just moves it near the shores of the Bay of Balar, and Vanyar and the Noldor get on it and come to Valinor at last. A part of the island got broken, and it is what became the Isle of Balar. You can see it on your maps. If you have your copies of the Silmarillion, then you'll see that there is a little portion, a little land near the Bay of Balar, which is called the Isle of Balar. But the Teleri remained still in Middle-earth, for they dwelt in East Beleriand, far from sea. And they heard not the summons of the Ulmo, until too late, and many searched still for Elve their lord, and without him they were unwilling to depart. But when they learned that Ingve and Finve and their peoples were gone, then many of the Teleri pressed on to the shores of Beleriand, and dwelt thereafter near the mouths of Sirion, in longing for their friends that had departed, and they took Olwë, Elwë's brother, to be their king. Long they remained by the coasts of the Western Sea, and Ose and Uinen came to them and befriended them, and Ose instructed them, sitting upon a rock near the margin of the land, and of him they learned all manner of the sea lore and sea music. Thus it came to be that the Teleri, who were from the beginning lovers of water and the fairest singers of the elves, were after enamored of the sea, and their songs were filled with the sound of waves upon the shore. So, while Ulmo came to the shores with the island, implementing this plan of Manwë to bring the elves of Middle-earth by means of a moving island, the Teleri missed the boat, so to speak. They missed their chance. They did not hear the summons, and when they eventually learn that the Vanyar and the Noldor had gone on to Valinor, they came and made their abodes and started living near the mouths of Sirion in the Bay of Balar, hoping that the Valar would come back for them. Ose and Uinen, as we know, are the two Maiar under Ulmo. Each of the Valar have a Maiar under them, like their people, their servants in a way, who serve them. So Uinen and Ose are a married couple, Maiar, and they are under Ulmo. Ose is the lover of storms, as we found out in previous chapters, and Uinen is the one who calms him whenever he loses his mind. So these two Maiar came often to those shores where the Teleri lived, and they befriended them and taught them the music of the seas and much sea lore, because they are the masters of that realm, that domain. Teleri, as we know from the previous chapters, always loved the waters. Remember the first sundering of the Teleri, when Lenve and his son Denethor split from Elve's group and remained there by River Anduin. And so the Teleri, who were under their new king Olwë, lived there at the shores and waited and hoped and prayed that Ulmo would come for them too. Don't forget that not all of the Teleri were here by the shores. Many of them are still looking for their king Elwë. Those are his friends and kindred who did not want to abandon the search for Elwë. And they are still searching for him in the middle of Beleriand. Elwë, who was lost in the forest and is still lost, and they still haven't found him. As we know from the last chapter, what happened to Elwë, and he basically fell in love with a Maia called Melian, and long years have passed, trees are growing up, and countless years have passed, and he's still in like a trance state by this magic of falling in love with a Maia. When many years had passed, Ulmo hearkened to the prayers of the Noldor and of Finwë their king, who grieved at their long sundering from the Teleri, and besought him to bring them to Aman if they would come. And most of them proved now willing indeed, but great was the grief of Ossë when Ulmo returned to the coast of Beleriand to bear them away to Valinor. For his care was for the seas of Middle-earth and the shores of the hither lands, and he was ill-pleased that the voices of the Teleri should be heard no more in his domain. Some he persuaded to remain, and those were the Falathrim, the elves of the Falas, who in after days had dwellings at the havens of Brithumbar and Eglarest, the first mariners in Middle-earth, and the first makers of ships. Círdan the shipwright was their lord. So, after many years, remember, these are all immortals here that we are speaking of, so we don't know how many years is many years. But after many years, Ulmo finally hearkens to the prayers of the Noldor and of Finwë to bring the Teleri to Valinor as well if they would come. Remember that Finwë and Elwë were best friends, and that Finwë still does not know that Elwë is lost in the forest and is lost to his people. So he's hoping to see his friend again. Finally, it is time for the Teleri to go and join the other two kindreds in Valinor, but Ossë is very sad. He had been teaching them songs of the seas, and the shores were always filled by their voices, and now Ulmo has come to take them away. But he's able to convince some of them to remain behind, so here we have another sundering of the Teleri. Those that remain behind to live on the shores are called Falathrim. These are the elves of the Falas and were the first ones to make ships. Their leader, their lord, was an elf called Novë, who we know as Círdan the shipwright. We know from the Lord of the Rings that he remains on the shores of Middle-earth throughout the history of Arda. And those elves who have to go back to Valinor, who want to go back to Valinor, would always take the ship of Círdan. We can even say later at the end of the Lord of the Rings, Galadriel, Elrond, and Frodo and Bilbo, they also take the ship. And Círdan is a shipwright who gives them the ship to go to Valinor. But that comes later. For now, Teleri, under the kingship of Ulmo, are on their way to Valinor, and some remain behind to stay on the shores and become elves of the Falas, the coast elves, the Falathrim, under the lordship of Círdan. The kinsfolk and friends of Elwë Singolo also remained in the Hitherlands, seeking him yet, though they would fain have departed to Valinor in the light of the trees, if Ulmo and Ulmo had been willing to tarry longer. But Ulmo would be gone, and at last the main host of the Teleri embarked upon the isle, and Ulmo drew them away. Then the friends of Elwë were left behind, and they called themselves Eglath, the Forsaken People. They dwelt in the woods and hills of Beleriand. rather than by the sea, which filled them with sorrow. But the desire of Ammon was ever in their hearts. But when Elwë awoke from his long trance, he came forth from Nan Elmoth with Melian, and they dwelt thereafter in the woods in the midst of the land. Greatly though he had desired to see again the light of the trees in the face of Melian, he beheld the light of Ammon as in an unclouded mirror, and in that light he was content. His people gathered about him in joy, and they were amazed, for fair and noble as he had been, now he appeared as it were a lord of a Maiar, his hair as grey silver, tallest of all the children of Ilúvatar, and a high doom was before him. So, who has remained in Beleriand so far? We know that Vanyar and Noldor are in Valinor now. The Teleri under Olwë are on their way to Valinor. Some kinsfolk and friends of Elwë did remain behind to search for their king. And also, Círdan and his people also stayed behind to live on the coasts and there build ships and sing songs of the sea. So, friends of Elwë they have almost given up hope now, and they think of themselves as forsaken people, and they would have gone with Ulmo and Olwë if they had waited a little longer, or if they were willing to wait a little longer. But now they cannot find their king, nor can they go to Valinor, because Ulmo is already gone with the island. But instead of going to live by the sea, these elves live in the woods and hills of Beleriand, in the middle of Beleriand. So remember when Elwë saw Melian for the first time and just went into a dreamlike state in a trance, and trees grew up and many years passed while he stood there watching her and looking her in the eyes. Well, now he has finally woken up and he makes a home there in the wood in the middle of Beleriand with Melian. He still yearned to see the light of the two trees of Valinor, but he's happy with what he sees in Melian, the Maia, because in her face he can see the light of Ammon in its purest form. He was pretty much happy with it. Valinor can wait for now. Finally, Elwë's people find him, and they probably expected him to be in a bad state, that he had gotten into some trouble, but instead he is now even more fair and more noble, and on top of being an elf who had beheld the light of the two trees and was already lordly, now he appeared to be like a lord of the Maiar, like an angel. Remember from the early sessions we talked about how bad and evil, wherever it exists, wherever it lives, it creates bad and evil around it. The lands become rotten fumes all around, poisonous water, snakes, spiders. In the similar way, we did discuss then as well how good changes the area around it as well. Valinor is Valinor because of the Valar who lived there. In a similar way, Melian living in Beleriand has not only changed the land around her, but also changed Elwë and made him even more lordly and noble and fair. Now Ose followed after the host of Olwë, and when they were come to the Bay of Eldamar, which is Elven home, he called to them, and they knew his voice, and begged Ulmo to stay their voyage, and Ulmo granted their request. And at his bidding, Ose made fast the island and rooted it to the foundations of the sea. Ulmo did this the more readily, for he understood the hearts of the Teleri, and in the council of the Valar he had spoken against the summons, thinking that it were better for the Quendi to remain in Middle-earth. The Valar were little pleased to learn what he had done, and Finwë grieved when the Teleri came not, and yet more when he learned that Elwë was forsaken. and knew that he should not see him again, unless it were in the halls of Mandos. But the island was not moved again, and stood there alone in the Bay of Eldamar, and it was called Tol Eressëa, the Lonely Isle. There the Teleri abode as they wished under the stars of heaven, and yet within the light of Aman and the deathless shore. And by that long sojourn apart in the Lonely Isle was caused the sundering of their speech from that of the Vanyar and the Noldor. Well, there's a lot to unpack here. So, the Teleri are on their way to Valinor. Yet, we know that their heart is still in Middle-earth. That is why this is the only group of Eldar which keeps splitting at each stop. Some stopped at River Anduin and became Nandor. Some stopped in Beleriand to seek Elwë. Some stopped at the coast to live there and sing songs. Something is wrong here. This should not be happening. I wouldn't say it is against their will, but they are still conflicted about leaving Middle-earth behind. So Ossë, who got to spend time with the Teleri, followed them, and he knew what was in their hearts. So he caught up to Ulmo, and the Teleri heard Ossë's voice, and they begged Ulmo to just stop, not go on, and not just that. Ulmo realized what was in the hearts of the Teleri as well, and he stopped at once. And not just that, he even told Ossë to root the island so it does not move a lot in the sea, and it stands there firm. So let's talk. So let's talk about Ulmo a bit again. Remember from the first part of the book, nonetheless Ulmo loves both elves and men and never abandoned them, not even when they lay under the wrath of the Valar. He has a special love for the children of Ilúvatar and cares for them. So when first the Valar held a council and decided to bring the firstborn to Valinor, Ulmo was against the idea, and rightly so. Middle-earth was created for the children of Ilúvatar. The Valar labored for countless amount of time to make and shape Middle-earth for them, and now the Valar want them to just come live with them in Valinor. It wasn't right to Ulmo, but the majority decided that it was the right thing, and he went along with it. So when he told them about Tol Eressëa and the Lonely Isle, they were not really pleased with him that what he had done. He had kind of gone against the wishes of the other Valar. So the Teleri under Ulmo didn't quite come to Valinor, but instead they resided in Tol Eressëa under the stars. They could see the stars and also remain near Valinor, near within the light of Aman. To these the Valar had given a land and a dwelling place. Even among the radiant flowers of the tree-lit gardens of Valinor, they longed still at times to see the stars. And therefore a gap was made in the great walls of the Pelori, and there in a deep valley that ran down to the sea of the Eldar, the Eldar raised a high green hill. Tunight was called. From the west the light of the trees fell upon it, and its shadow lay ever eastward, and to the east it looked towards the Bay of Elvenholm, and the Lonely Isle, and the shadowy sea. Then, through Kalakiria, the pass of the light, the radiance of the blessed realm, streamed forth, kindling the dark waves to silver and gold, and it touched the Lonely Isle, and its western shore grew green and fair. There bloomed the first flowers that ever were east of the mountains of Aman. So the Vanyar and the Noldor, who are in Valinor, they would still sometimes long to see the stars. Remember, in Valinor, they cannot see the stars because of the two trees of Valinor. You cannot see the stars. And remember, the stars were the first things that the elves saw when they awoke in Cui Vienen. So the Valar, being ever so kind, did open up a pass of the Pelori so that they're able to see the stars. And the Eldar raised up a giant big hill called Tuna, and on top of it, from top of it, they were able to see the light of the stars. They were able to see the stars, and the gap that the Pelori made, the light of the two trees would fall on the hill and also go beyond the hill, reaching even Tol Eressëa. Hence, even the Teleri beheld the light of the two trees of Valinor, and Tol Eressëa's western shore became green and fair. So here, both the Vanyar and the Noldor lived on Tuna. Tuna is a giant hill that they created, and the Valar made a gap in the Pelori, the mountains hiding Valinor, so that they're able to see the stars of Middle-earth. But when they opened the Pelori, the light from the two trees was also able to escape and fall on the shores of Tol Eressëa, the Lonely Isle, where the Teleri lived. Upon the crown of Tuna, the city of the elves was built, the white walls and terraces of Tirion. And the highest of the towers of that city was the Tower of Ingwe, Mindon Eldalieva, whose silver lamp shone far out into the mists of the sea. Few are the ships of mortal men that have seen its slender beam. In Tirion, upon Tuna, the Vanyar and the Noldor dwelt long in fellowship, and since of all the things in Valinor, they loved most the white tree. Givanna made for them a tree like to a lesser image of Telperion, save that it did not give light of its own being. Galathilion, it was named in the Sindarin tongue. This tree was planted in the courts beneath the Mindon, and there flourished, and its seedlings were many in Eldamar. Of these, one was afterwards planted in Tol Eressëa, and it prospered there, and was named Celeborn. Thence came in the fullness of time, as is elsewhere told, Nimloth, the white tree of Numenor. Atop the hill of Tuna, the first settlement city of the elves in Valinor was built, and it was called Tirion. And the highest tower there was the Tower of Ingwe. Ingwe is the lord of the Vanyar, the king of all the elves. So at the start, the Vanyar and the Noldor both lived in Tirion, and they could still see the stars from that hill and also see the light of the two trees, and they could also see their kin in Tol Eressëa, the Teleri, and it was a blissful time. And out of all the things in Valinor, they loved most the silver tree, the Telperion. Remember, the stars that the elves loved so much were created by the dew that fell from the silver tree. So naturally, they loved the silver light more, the silver tree more. So seeing this, Yavanna makes them a similar silvery tree, like a lesser image of Telperion. Obviously, of course, it did not give the light of its own like Telperion does, because much power went into creating the two trees of Valinor, and they can never be replicated again. So the trees, and because that time is gone, all the energy spent there, it's used up. They cannot replicate it. They cannot recreate it. So this tree, that Yavanna makes for the elves is planted beneath Mindon, that's the Tower of Ingwe, and it gave many seedlings. One of them was afterwards planted in Tol Eressëa, and for and it says, and it prospered there and was named Celeborn, thence came in the fullness of time, as is elsewhere told, Nimloth, the white tree of Numenor. So, Nimloth, why is that significant and might be ringing a bell in some people's ears? Well, Nimloth came, it's from Nimloth that Isildur stole the fruit, which gave the, whose seed was planted in Gondor, and that became the white tree of Gondor. So you see how these stories are all connected and go back to the same story. This is what I love about Tolkien's work, that everything is connected, and this was one example of it. And from this tree, so the white tree of Gondor came from a liking of Telperion, from a lesser image of Telperion. That is pretty cool. And at this point, I would end today's session. I know it was a shorter session, but there was much to discuss here. So I thought, let's not overburden ourselves, and we'll pick the story up the next time, next Saturday, and finish this chapter and see if we can do some parts of the next chapter as well. But till then, take care, have fun. Also next week, next week we might be able to reach the next chapter, but if not, we'll try to finish this up and we'll go from there. You can catch all these sessions on YouTube by just going to the link in the description, or just searching for my channel, DGenXLE, and you will find all you need and much more. You can also catch it live at Twitch by going to twitch.tv /EstelleAli. You can follow me on Twitter if you want, and if you want to listen to this in a podcast application, in a podcast audio form, it will be available in on all iTunes and Android and Google podcast applications by just searching Estelle Pod, and you will find it. So do find it, and as always, for any feedback, or if you want to just chat or give some point that you want to make, or want to disagree with or agree with, feel free to write to me in an email. Catch you guys next week. Goodbye.